Last Sunday, we celebrated Pentecost, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the apostles and one of the beginning points of the church. And this Sunday, as we transition back into ordinary time, Holy Mother Church invites us to reflect on two central mysteries of our faith, both this Sunday and next Sunday. For this Sunday, we'll reflect on the Holy Trinity. And the next Sunday, we'll reflect on the true presence of the body and blood of our Lord in the Holy Eucharist as we celebrate Corpus Christi. And this Sunday is actually a really good continuation point from Pentecost, because we get to penetrate more deeply into what has been poured into our hearts, that spirit of truth that we have received. And it's not something that we reflect on very much, or quite frankly, we priests like to reflect on very much, because priests are always a little nervous when talking about the Holy Trinity. It's a complicated subject to talk about one God in three persons, and priests are always a little bit fearful about committing a great heretical error in some way, because it's hard to describe the Holy Trinity using human language and analogies. It's just not quite adequate enough to do justice to the subject. But maybe a good question to start with might be, why is God a Holy Trinity? Why is God one in three persons? Why does that matter? Well, one simple answer, if there is such a thing as a simple answer to this question, is love. God is love. When you think about the Holy Trinity, the Father eternally generates the Son by his word, by thinking of that word, and then the Father and the Son give an expression of love to each other that pours forth the Holy Spirit from both the Father and the Son, meaning that the love that they have is so diffusive that three persons are needed to both give and receive that love. All of that happens in an undivided unity by which the three persons are consubstantial with each other, which we say that word every week when we profess our faith in the creed. And all of that is to say that God is love, both eternally giving and receiving that love in a higher way than we can understand. Each person of the Trinity also has a mission that is part of God's plan for salvation. Again, it's distinct while still remaining one. God the Father sends both the Son and the Holy Spirit, and the Son, Jesus Christ, becomes incarnate, becomes man, and gives of himself on the cross for us to be able to save us and redeem us. In fact, the cross is probably the most visible image of that Trinitarian love, that self-gift of Christ on the cross for us, a gift that we remember most visibly at every Holy Mass in the Holy Eucharist, when we actually receive the Holy Trinity at every Holy Mass. Finally, the Holy Spirit is sent and poured into our hearts to convict us and remind us of the truth that was taught by the Father and the Son, to help lead us personally and to also lead the church. So, what does all that mean for us? Well, first, it means that we have the Spirit of truth in our dwelling in our hearts, just as Jesus promises he would send us in the gospel. The Holy Spirit can give us clarity based on the fruits of the Spirit and also proper discernment about what the will of God is in a particular situation for our lives. But what it also means is that the Holy Spirit is promised to the church. And I think this is actually what is hinted at, talked about a little bit more in this gospel. We have to remember that Jesus is talking to his apostles here. And he's sort of talking about you in sort of a plural sense of the word. These apostles have become the first bishops. And so this gospel is referring more to the Spirit of truth that would be received by the church, given to the hierarchy of the church, that visible sign of the church. This becomes important because the Holy Spirit helps us to better understand what has been gifted to us by divine revelation, what we receive both in sacred scripture and tradition. And one way to think about this is imagine that you're looking at a tree that's far away, and you have binoculars to be able to look at that tree. Now, you might have a hard time seeing it at first, but you know it's a tree, you're for sure of that, but you might have to adjust your binoculars a little bit to be able to get a clear picture of what that tree looks like so it can come into focus. It's somewhat similar to the revealed truths of the church. The Holy Spirit doesn't suddenly reveal something brand new doctrine to us necessarily, or we're going to learn something tomorrow about Jesus that isn't already contained in divine revelation. But what the Holy Spirit can do is it can guide us and help us to clarify how we might understand that truth a little bit better. And oftentimes this comes about when there's controversies in the church throughout history about different things that arise. And the church has to find a way to clarify that, to make that more clear, to help teachings come into focus a little bit more, to help that image become a little bit less blurry to us. And this is the opposite of the so-called teachings of the world. You think about how the world looks at things. Things are sort of ever evolving. You know, it might feel like the sand is sort of shifting under our feet all the time. Think about how the world views marriage or issues of life and death or even different moral issues. All of those things can change in the world with the ways of the wind, if you will. According to the world, something that may have been immoral or moral maybe 100 or 200 years ago can change because it just has that ever-evolving sense. What's moral or immoral 20 or 50 years from now could be different than it is today. Again, that's how the world sort of looks at it. There's not really a fixed point to be able to decide those things. But with the church, while our understanding of something may change, things can come a little bit into more clear focus, the fundamental truth, the foundation of truth that God has given us, doesn't. And that can be very comforting as we're trying to navigate the world and all of its confusion, to have that foundation of the Holy Spirit that the Lord gives us. So finally, I want to point to something that's in our second reading. St. Paul talks about how we are justified by faith, the grace that is given, that gives us hope in God's glory. And justification by faith, it's something that, again, throughout the history of the church has been controversial. And you might be wondering, well, what does this have to do with the Holy Trinity? Well, when we talk about justification by faith, how the church understands it is that St. Paul is talking about baptism. Because when we're baptized, how are we baptized? We're baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We're baptized in the name of the Most Holy Trinity. And so that means that we receive that gift of faith that God promises in our baptism. And that it also helps us to know that God is faithful because through our life, God has a plan for us, a plan that helps us to lead us toward salvation. God is using our lives, all parts of our lives, to be able to lead us to salvation. So with that understanding in mind, that's why St. Paul says something very curious. He says we should boast of our afflictions. Kind of an odd thing to say. I've never seen anyone walk around with a t-shirt that says, "I boast of my afflictions." It's kind of an odd thing. But yet, he's able to say that, and the only reason that St. Paul is really able to say that is because the Lord uses our afflictions, our difficulties, our struggles in this life to help lead us to glory. To put it another way, he gives us crosses to endure, to help purify us, to help purify our souls, which gives us endurance to help prove our character. It's a little like athletic training that sort of builds endurance to help grow in a sport. Now, in the spiritual life, it's a little different. It's more about spiritual purification. It's not about trying to achieve that spiritual sense. But yet, the Lord uses that ability to help us to be able to grow. We can only believe that our afflictions in this life will save us if we have faith and the hope that is given to us at baptism, to believe that it's leading us to glory. So, what are those things that are afflicting you? Can you see the Lord's saving grace working through those afflictions? Or can you ask the Lord to help you to see that more clearly? Now, it may not be evident necessarily in this life, but the Lord is using those parts of our life to help us to grow closer to Him, because we have faith that He and confidence in His plan of salvation for us. So this Sunday, let's praise the Holy Trinity, that undivided unity that gives us faith, hope, and love.